Hi, I'm Mel Majoros. I am a 2-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. Just carry on my spirit is what Jason Sissel's grandfather asked him to do shortly before he passed away of cancer. And that's what Jason did. He gave up a lucrative job as a stockbroker on Wall Street to found Endure to Cure, an organization that donates its proceeds to help children with pediatric cancer. I'd like you to meet this inspiring young man right now. How are you today, Jason?
Good. How are you?
Great. So you have one of those organizations that are very inspiring. So why don't you tell me how that got started?
Okay. Well, Endure to Cure is a pediatric cancer foundation. The efforts that myself and our team of fundraising athletes do is to raise money for organizations that research, treat, and provide care for pediatric cancer patients. And the premise of what we do is, you know, just step out of your comfort zone, try to do events, you know, any athletic event anywhere in the world, and raise money for the cause. So we have a team of fundraising athletes around the world, and it's been, you know, really starting to gain some traction and build momentum. And, you know, currently we have athletes on 4 continents, probably about 6 or 7 countries, and it's growing pretty quickly.
Now, are they just regular people who decided to do this, or are they, like, professional athletes?
Yeah, currently it's mostly everyday people, and that's
awesome.
That's what we're really trying to, you know, grow is just the people that are out there. We want them to believe that they can do more than they think they're capable of, and you know, just expanding their comfort zone by trying new things and being more physically active. So, you know, what we're trying to do is inspire them by doing things that we didn't think we were capable of, and being an example for them that they can do it too.
Excellent. Yeah, I know. Because when you're diagnosed with cancer, you just think, oh my God, is this it? And then I think, because we were talking before that you're not a cancer survivor, but your grandfather is. And I know that when I went through treatment, it seems like once you've been through cancer, you feel like, all right, well, now that I beat that, what's next? Like, I've seen you're doing all these mountain climbing things, which would totally take me out of my comfort zone. But there's certain things, like even I went skiing, and I felt it was a totally different vibe when I was skiing after cancer than before.
Yeah, I'm sure of that. And, you know, for me, it was, you know, my grandfather, he beat colon cancer, and then literally 2 months after he was cleared of it, he got, you know, diagnosed with a late-stage bone marrow cancer and decided not to treat it. And just try to live out the rest of his life the best he could with family and friends. And one of the things he asked of me was, all I ask is that you carry on my spirit in your life. And that changed my life and how I perceived everything I do, you know, whether it's, you know, working at a job that I wasn't, you know, fully in love with doing. I liked it, but didn't love it. And then,
and that,
you know,
was
the other chain of events happened. And I'm like, hey, I got to do something, you know, that can help change other people's lives. And hopefully that carries on with, you know, living my grandfather's spirit.
Now, what, for our listeners, what were you doing before all of this?
Yeah, I worked on Wall Street for about 9 years. And,
wow.
And, you know, so I was doing a lot of finance work. And you know, I took a vacation and climbed Kilimanjaro. And, you know, that's when it all hit me. It was about a year after my grandfather passed away that, you know, hey, I need to step out of my own comfort zone and try to do something that, you know, hopefully can really inspire people and make a difference for the children that are fighting their own battles, and just hopefully make a difference.
Because I tend to imagine, I mean, I don't have children, but I would assume that for kids, I mean, they're more resilient, but for their families, it must be very difficult.
Yeah, you know, I've
had
the experience of following a lot of these kids' journeys and their families' journeys, and it's just gut-wrenching to watch at times. And but at the same time, you get the stories that really inspire you, and you know, they're doing essentially the same thing that we're doing metaphorically. You know, they're trying to overcome their own battles, their own limitations.
Because if anything, cancer will take you out of your comfort zone, that's for sure.
Yeah. It definitely does. And just having watched a few family members go through it, a former colleague go through brain cancer, it's hard.
It is hard. And that's why
I guess the way that I find meaning in the suffering, you know, emotionally and mentally is to just try to harness that experience that they're going through in order to hopefully make it better and hopefully help find a cure through our efforts.
Excellent.
And, you know, I guess that's my way of dealing with it, and it works.
So what's your next big climb is where?
Well, just to give you a little background, I put together what I call an endurance campaign of widely varying events such as mountain climbing, marathons, ultra triathlons, and part of that is the Seven Summits, which is the highest peak on each continent.
Right.
And next on the list is the Boston Marathon and a mountain in Europe called Mount Elbrus in the summer, and then the Ultraman World Championships out in Hawaii in the fall. So that's the lineup for the rest of the year.
So do you personally do all of these?
I do, yeah. Wow. And hopefully, you know, the idea is that hopefully we can inspire people through the events that I'm doing, the events that our athletes that we have on board are doing, and get them to join us in the fight against pediatric cancer.
So how did you find your athletes? Did they all come to you?
No, it's definitely a challenging process of creating awareness every day. You know, every day you wake up and think of how can I do better today than I was yesterday. And part of that is just getting the word out. You know, it's something that you really have to be patient with and just, you know, talk to people who do these events already, people who are thinking about doing them, and just telling them what you do and how you do it, and most importantly, how it benefits them. Because, you know, if you're not providing a value for them, or if you're just using them to make your organization better, it doesn't enhance their experience with you. And, you know, you really have to be cognizant of, you know, building a brand and building a high-quality brand that people like and get part of.
How hard was it for you in the beginning to get this going?
It's extremely hard. You know, I started this and I left my job in middle of 2008. And if you recall, that's kind of when the financial crisis was just getting underway. So, you know, I think right out of the gate, we got, you know, thrown a massive curveball, and we really just had to reassess our vision right from the start and what our goals were, you know, within a year, within 2 years, 3 years. And we just had to reassess that and deal with the challenges and just keep pressing every day to get the word out and, you know, build awareness, build athletes. And it just made it a little harder to get off the ground, but everything is going in the right direction.
And I see you have some pretty high-level sponsors here. How did they come about? I see you have Red Bull and Elevate Studios, which is one of the marketing agencies in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just go to them and say, here, this is my vision, can you help me?
Yeah, it's probably the most simple way to put it, I think. And, you know, when you haven't done anything, but you have a big vision, you know, people look at you, generally speaking, and they're like, wow, that's great. But, you know, when you're talking about a major corporation especially, what they're thinking is, how is someone like a Nike or someone like that, how is it going to, you know, bring in business for them?
Right.
And when you haven't done anything, it's really hard to get them to buy into it.
Right.
And, you know, they want to know that you're bankable, you know, right from the get-go. And, you know, when I was starting out, I wasn't. And, you know, the people who are on board believe in it, but you still have to produce results. And I think, you know, as time unfolded and we start doing these events that people, especially companies, think are impossible, and you do them and you succeed at them, then they start buying into it. So it's kind of been a slow and steady process. You know, had to be extremely patient with it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Right from the beginning, just because it doesn't happen overnight. And a lot of these companies that, you know, you see on our sponsor list are companies that, you know, you bang down the door over and over and over again before they even take your call or let you have a meeting. So, it just takes persistence. It takes a lot of patience and a lot of hard work.
I'm picturing you knocking on the door as something like Tommy Boy. Did you ever see that movie? Where they're like, okay, I'll be your sponsor. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. What?
Yeah, it's definitely similar, you know, and sometimes it's pretty humorous, too. And I've had companies that, you know, they tell you to get lost, and then you just keep them in the loop on what you're doing. And then, you know, they start seeing some success, and then they want to jump on board. So you just have to, you just, like I said, just be persistent, even though you're told no, or, you know, get lost and, you know, come back in a year. And you really just have to be humble and thankful for their time and,
exactly,
and just keep showing them how you can be of value to their brand and their company.
And I find that even with like job interviews or anything that you do, just like a thank you card, you know, because everything's email these days. I remember I had a job interview one time and I didn't get the job, sent a thank you card. And then the person found my thank you card on their desk. You know, they were cleaning off their desk and they had another interview for me. They're like, oh, yeah, I remember your interview and I found your thank you card. And, you know, that kind of personal touch, like, dear John, thank you for letting me meet with you. You know, and I think that's a lost art. Nowadays.
Absolutely. I think you're extremely dead on with that. And I think, it, you know, with that being said, it goes beyond doing that just with sponsors. It's with
everybody.
Your athletes. It's with your donors. It's the volunteers, you know, because everybody that's involved is what makes the organization successful. And it's not just one person's effort. It's everybody coming together with, you know, a greater purpose in mind. And, you know, for that, it's making a difference in the lives of the kids. But in order to do that, you have to make a difference in the lives of everybody involved. And for me, I think that's one of the things that I didn't fully expect that really makes doing what I'm doing every day special.
Right. Now, do you see a lot of the kids that you help out at your various hospitals?
Yeah, that's something we've been working on. You know, it's been kind of a challenge just because of, you know, the swine flu. You know, they had the hospitals essentially off limits to visitors.
Well, you could have got a hazmat suit and walked in there, right, though?
Right. Yeah, that's something that we are definitely developing, you know, as we see it internally, you know, as we grow, we want to be able to share the story with the kids around the country and hopefully around the world in time. You know, as you pointed out, we just recently got done with a mountain climb at the highest peak in South America, Aconcagua, and we were supposed to go to Santiago, Chile right after we were done and speak with kids at a hospital there, but we ended up not being able to go because of the earthquake.
Right.
And locally here in Chicago, we have some talks set up for, you know, in the next month or two.
And do you have a lot of people who see your story and want to become an athlete for your cause? Like, do all of your athletes do every single thing, or one person might do the mountain climb, one person might do the triathlon? But you're the main guy that does everything.
It's completely open-ended, and this is one of the things I really, really am excited about with our business model. You know, there's a lot of charities out there that have, you know, one event that they do. That, you know, this is, if you want to be a fundraising athlete for us, you do the Chicago Marathon or something like that. But, you know, we take it a step further and say, well, why do we want to limit what people can do? Because first of all, not everybody wants to do a marathon.
Right.
Somebody might want to do a 5K, and that's a big challenge to them. That's great. You know, we want those people, and our overarching athlete philosophy is that anybody can do any event anywhere in the world and be a fundraising athlete for us.
Oh, excellent. So you can basically just pick an event. It doesn't necessarily have to be like the mountain climb that you're doing.
Absolutely.
Oh,
yep, because,
awesome.
You know, everybody's marching to the beat of a different drummer, if you will, and, you know, that's one thing that we value. We don't want everybody's story to be the same.
Right.
You know, and we want to inspire anybody that hey, you can do something. Just do anything, you know. And if you want to make a difference with our organization, then great. We're going to help you find a way to get to your goals.
So what if you have somebody who's maybe not an athlete? What else can they do in your organization besides donate? I wasn't.
There's a lot of possibilities out there. You could be a grassroots fundraiser and host fundraising events in your own community.
Excellent.
You know, we've had people doing that. You know, people that just facilitate opportunities. You know, making, you know, contributing ideas and helping make new things happen.
Excellent. Make the phone calls to the children's hospitals and try to get that going.
Yeah, really. I mean, the way I look at everything in life is that possibilities are endless. You know, if you have an idea that we haven't thought of, then bring it, and let's see if we can figure out a way to implement it and make it successful. And, you know, in the end, it's all about contributing to the cause in whatever way that you can and want to do. And, you know, in some capacity, that's going to result in our success.
Right. And I do have to ask, does all of your money go towards the children's hospitals and the beneficiary organizations that are on your page?
Yeah, we're talking a goal of having 85% or more of all the donations going to the cause.
Nice.
And that's something that's really important to me, because I see a lot of, you know, if you know, the more sophisticated donors will dig into a charity when they're making a donation, and, you know, they'll say, you know, organization XYZ has 30% or 10% going to the cause. Well, why would I want to donate to that?
So, exactly.
You know, you really have to just be responsible with your finances and your decision-making with respect to your costs and your revenues. And you know, the more that we can have going to the cause, the more it positively impacts it.
So, exactly.
Yeah, that's something that definitely is very important to us as managers.
Well, of course, I would imagine that's important to, especially the children.
Absolutely.
And that's very inspiring, because, you know, I mean, I'm not going to put down any organizations, but like you said, you do hear organization XYZ, and then you look into their financials, and it's mm-hmm. like, oh, well, the president or the CEO got, you know, $1 million, and really fun, you know, that money should go towards funding, or should go towards the children, or research, or something.
Yeah, I fully concur with that. You know, and the shocking thing is that some of the charities out there that have the really jaw-dropping ratios in a negative light are some of the ones that, you know, are kind of stapled in the, you know, just with the general public.
Right.
So.
Right, but since they're more popular, you know, that's why this program, this podcast is important to me, because I like to find the groups like yours, Endure to Cure, and get the word out there.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Because not everybody has heard about it. I mean, I'm such a Facebook junkie that I look online and I find these things. And I've had organizations on where people go, wow, I had no idea that existed. And it's just fantastic, because any person that hears that, and even if they just donate a dollar to your cause and say, well, you know, I can't climb a mountain or, you know, make a phone call, but I'll write a check to you. That's money that'll go towards the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's just a continual process every day of educating people that, hey, you know, any contribution that you make is of value and it's important. And, you know, I kind of look at, you know, when I'm explaining it to people, you know, you look at some of the massive, great structures, like building structures that are out there, and take the Great Pyramids of Giza. You know, you take one of those blocks and it's just not that spectacular, but you put a bunch of these blocks together and it creates something massive. And
exactly.
You know, whether that's a dollar or, you know, $100 or a donation of your time or helping just spread the word or recruiting athletes, like that's one of those building blocks that makes, you know, the bigger structure something beautiful and something that can, you know, inspire people and hopefully in the end provide cures for kids with cancer.
Exactly, because I think, like you were saying, a lot of people just think, oh, well, I don't have time to donate and I don't have money to donate, but what else can I do? And like you said, you could,
mm-hmm.
you know, find anything that you want within your organization and do it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we definitely.
Even if they just call you and say, hey, I have this wild idea. I heard about this, you know, race where people, you know, run on their hands. I don't know, just making something up, you know, and you'd be like, wow, that sounds kind of fun. And
yeah, and I have people come to me that say, hey, let's, you know, this is something that I'm interested in. I want to create an event.
Awesome.
Like actually be the point person to create an event or create a team for an event that's already established. So, you know, we've had great success with that, and just helping make people's ideas it come to fruition. And in the end, it gets other people involved. And, you know, everybody hopefully has a good time and wants to do something again in the future.
And hopefully there won't be, in the future, won't be needs for my podcast. That's what I'm kind of hoping. I hope to put myself out of business by doing these things and finding, you know, a cure for cancer out there, even if it's just one. You know, wouldn't that be just sweet? Even if, I don't know, pull one out of a hat. And, you know,
absolutely.
Even
and
2 years from now, whatever kind of cancer, well, you know, little Timmy had that. Well, now he doesn't have to worry about that again because we've cured it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, I think another thing that, with respect to what you just said, is that, yes, there are, you know, people get cured, but I don't think the broader public or the people that haven't experienced what the cancer cycle is like really understand the longer term repercussions after a kid is cured. And, you know, just things like the chemotherapy and the emotional toll that they have when they go through school after losing their hair, or just,
well, it's hard. It was
know,
hard
the toll
for
it takes on your body for several years is tough. And, you know, that they still need to develop less harsher chemotherapies and treatments that, you know, enable the kids to recover faster for the rest of their life.
Exactly. And for an adult, it's still a struggle for me sometimes emotionally. So I couldn't imagine being a child.
You know,
thinking you might have to do therapy or, you know, antidepressants or something at a young age. You know, like I said, I always tell people I'm not a doctor. So, you know, I'm just throwing this out there. Always talk to your doctor about any kind of therapies that you need. But I just couldn't imagine as a child going through that. I mean, losing my hair, I'm not a vain person, but as a woman, losing your hair is pretty harsh. And as a kid, yeah, I just couldn't imagine that.
Yeah, I don't think that as, you know, as a kid, you don't have as much perspective. You know, it's like your world is sort of what's happening to you when you're going through it, and you don't have that, you know, longer term vision, you know, and just the capacities to really see past somebody making fun of you,
right?
Or, you know, picking on you, and you just little things like that, and the support systems that you have around you are also, you know, not quite as great when you're a kid.
That's true. That's very true. And hopefully, organizations like Endure to Cure will change all that.
That's our vision.
Excellent.
And it's one day at a time, and every tough day that you have, you just have to bounce back the next day and be better, and, you know, try to work harder and smarter, and, you know, and good things will fall into place, and in my belief.
Oh, where were you earlier today? I could have used that pep talk.
I know. Sometimes it's easier said than done, but
I know.
You just have to roll with it and adapt and just keep moving forward. And
Exactly. Because I know that a lot of times, like, I'll post stuff up on Facebook and I'll be like, well, you know, what I'm doing isn't really making a difference. But then if I hear somebody say, oh, well, I read your blog and I had no idea insomnia was a side effect of chemo, and I talked to my doctor and I was able to, you know, actually sleep for the first time in a week. You know, so me thinking, oh, well, I'm not really doing anything that's helping anything, you know, sometimes, and I'm totally wrong. I mean, I don't need people to, like, email me and say, hey, this is great what you're doing. I just do it because I feel it needs to be done, and that's why you're doing what you do.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think when you have those moments, that those awakenings, if you will, when people that you don't know contact you and say that they were, you know, changed something in their life for the better because of your efforts, or you inspired them to do something beyond, you know, what their comfort zone was, or they faced their fears and tried to do something. That's the reward for all the rejections that you get from sponsors or just tough times that you go through every day.
Exactly. God, you're so inspiring. Like I said, I wish I could have called you earlier today.
Thank you.
Well, why don't we let people know how they can get a hold of you if they want to help out?
Our website is www.enduretocure.org, or you could email info@enduretocure.org, and and we can talk to people or go to speak at hospitals or really anything.
Excellent.
Anything that is, you know, can help the cause and help people achieve their goals if they want to be part of our organization. I'd love to, I'd be honored to chat with anybody, any of the listeners out there who want to be involved on any level.
Great. That's what I love to hear. And hopefully you'll let me know if somebody says, hey, I heard you. I shouldn't say if. I should say when. People say, oh, I heard the podcast, and we want to help out. So,
well, and likewise, if there's anything I can do to help your cause, please let me know.
I will. Well, just being on the show, you're helping my cause because it's a mutual admiration society, I guess.
Good.
Well, I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. You can always find me on Facebook, Mel Majoros. I'm on Twitter all the time, at Mel Majoros. You can be a fan of my page on Facebook, The Cancer Warrior, on EmpowerRadio.com. Check out my blogspot, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. And you know what? Life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.